X1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A deadly construction accident in Boise. An aircraft hangar being built at the Boise Airport collapsed. Three people killed, nine more injured. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
There was a large-scale collapse of the building, the framework of the building. I don't know what caused it, but I can tell you that it was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
Of the nine people injured, five are on hospital critical lists. Voting 357-70, the House passed a $79 billion package of tax cuts, expanding the child care tax credit, but not at pandemic levels, and restoring three corporate tax cuts. In Manchester, New Hampshire, a woman putting out her trash fell into the dumpster, which was promptly dumped into a garbage truck. Neighbors heard her screams. There was a camera in the trash compartment. The woman was rescued. This is ABC News. The problem? Is getting worse.
Why people do it is often not clear, but the phenomenon of people shining lasers at airplanes is a growing problem. The FAA out with new numbers showing it received over 13,000 reports from pilots of having lasers shined at them, a 40% increase over 2022. Since 2010, there have been 313 injuries from laser strikes. Getting caught shining a laser at an airplane or helicopter can be an $11,000 fine plus criminal penalties. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The simple explanation, winged insects are simply inexorably drawn to bright lights. In reality, it's not that simple. The new study suggesting that artificial lights at night may actually scramble the bugs' innate navigational systems, causing them to flutter in confusion around porch lamps, street lights, and other human-made beacons. For the study, researchers attached itty-bitty sensors to moths and dragonflies in a laboratory to record motion capture video of their flight. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the legislature. They got a hearing Wednesday. GOP lawmakers want to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
One of the main effects that this bill will have is that it will put race hustlers out of business. Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. GOP lawmakers want to curtail some of Governor Evers' veto power. They're proposing a constitutional amendment to bar the governor from using a partial veto to increase any taxes or fees. Evers used his partial veto last July to increase limits on how much public schools can raise every year for the next 400 years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and at a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he was a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, "We are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense." NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of fog forming in the overnight with lows in the mid-30s and a light southwest breeze. Thursday, fog will lift. We'll see mostly cloudy skies. Highs will reach near 40 degrees. Same story on Friday, minus the fog and a light east wind. Right now, it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome to the second hour of our program. I've had a number of callers to this program call up and just rave about Tim Alberta's new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism. And so we got a copy of the book, and we got Tim Alberta on the line with us, and he's going to spend a little time with us walking through it. He's a journalist and author, obviously his most recent book, American Carnage. He's a staff writer for The Atlantic. The new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism. BuyTimAlberta.com is his website, BY, and Tim Alberta on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for dropping by today.
Hi, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. So walk us through this, if you don't mind. Where do you start with the in this journey in the kingdom, the power, and the glory?
Yeah, I suppose the best place to start is at the beginning. I was born a pastor's kid, and my dad ran a large church. Well, it was a pretty small church when I was young, but became a large church in the Detroit suburbs in Brighton, Michigan, which is where I grew up. And I was always a faithful follower of Jesus. I still am. As I grew older, I began to become a bit disillusioned with just the institutions of Christianity in this country, and that set me off on some soul searching to do. But I never really thought I'd write about any of that, any of my own struggles with the church. But when my dad died very unexpectedly about 4 years ago, I faced something rather unexpected, which was basically some confrontations, some ugliness at his funeral from folks who I'd grown up with, folks at the church who I'd known my whole life, who didn't really think that I was a Christian anymore because of the way that I'd criticized Donald Trump, my writings about the Republican Party. And that was an eye-opener for me. Not that I didn't realize that that there was some of that dark underbelly of the church, but that it was hitting now so close to home. And on an occasion such as that one, it sort of it hurt and it bewildered me, but it was also very eye-opening and sort of set me out on this journey.
It seems, you know, we've talked with Frank Schaeffer about this, whose father was one of the founders of the modern right and was right in the middle of that. We've had a number of conversations with him over the years. It seems that the people who were true believers, who were really within the movement or very close to it, become the most disillusioned when they discover the depths of the hypocrisy, I guess is the best word, of the modern day evangelical movement mixing religion and politics. In your book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, we're talking to Tim Alberta about his brilliant new book. Where, you know, obviously this goes all the way back to the founding and long, you know, back millennia, right? Arguably the Bible is about the merger of church and state, you know, throughout. But, you know, after the Salem witch trials and just all the crisis that was going on, particularly in Massachusetts, which almost didn't get admitted as a state to the Union until they changed their policies around mandatory tithing to churches. You know, the founders kind of repudiated this idea, or aggressively repudiated it, particularly Jefferson and Madison, who were most outspoken about it, Ben Franklin. But now there's been this, you know, more recent move to integrate church and state, to aggressively integrate church and state. Where is the foundation of this, and how do you see this having reshaped both church and state in America, and why should we be concerned about that? A lot there, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what we see, I think, is sort of an unholy alliance here between bad history and bad theology. So, and I write about this in the book, you know, the bad history, which is, it's not crackpot fringe stuff. It's much more mainstreamed now than I think many of us want to realize. But you have figures like David Barton, who I write about in the book, who have very successfully infiltrated churches and schools and legislative bodies around the country and made this argument that really we were not founded as a country that simply appreciated and took inspiration from Judeo-Christian ethics and ideals, but that, no, we were in fact born to be a Christian nation, and that the framers really were being sort of coy and clever when they pieced together some of our founding documents, and they were doing one big wink and nod at us, but in fact they intended us to be a Christian nation, and that really it should be our goal as Christians to reclaim America as an explicitly Christian nation, that Christians should be not only making their voice heard in the public square, but that this should be a government of Christian laws, that our institutions should be run by Christians, and that the country is for Christians. That is sort of the great, you know, reclamation project for many on the modern right, whether it's David Barton and Chad Connolly with their American Restoration Tour, or Michael Flynn with his Reawaken America Tour. That is very much the common goal here. And the reason that I say that then sort of walks hand in hand with bad theology is if you become convinced that of that bad history, in fact, being true, then that creates a sort of implicit justification, maybe not even implicit justification, for you to believe that this nation is in covenant with the Almighty, that we are very much a biblical Israel, and that by fighting for this idealized nation of America, this Christian America, that you are fighting for God himself. And that is the place at which many folks have now arrived in this country today, and you can understand the sort of religious fanaticism that becomes then infused into our everyday partisan political disputes.
And I think it's important to point out that David Barton literally makes up quotes, takes things out of context, and has really achieved a significant position of power in the right and in the GOP. I mean, I believe he was an advisor to DeSantis's state, was he not?
I'm not sure if he had an official affiliation with DeSantis, but he ran Ted Cruz's super PAC in 2016. He's the former vice chairman of the Texas Republican Party. He has deep ties to the Republican Party.
Right. So you've got a political party here now that's trying to say basically God is on our side, and if you believe in God, you need to be with us. An awful lot of that was not the case pre-1980, was it? Was it not the Reagan campaign that really embraced, you know, the Falwell, the Ralph Reed crowd and brought them into the GOP, or was there something that preceded that?
No, I mean that's mostly right. I mean, what you're looking at in the 1970s is really sort of the formation of the modern religious right, and that's happening in different settings. You've got you know, mega churches and televangelists who are becoming more powerful and raising a lot of money and suddenly using direct mail and TV and radio to reach the masses and organize them, mobilize them, fundraise from them. And then you've got Christian colleges popping up, some of which are really becoming more aggressive in their sort of aims to not just offer a Christian education, but to kind of serve as a training ground for the culture war and to use those universities to advance more partisan aims. And then you've got, you know, organizations, activist organizations on the right that are forming, that some of which, many of which actually are really quite secular in nature, but they see the opportunity, they sense that the missing piece of the coalition here to put Republicans in a more advantageous position electorally is to mobilize the millions of fundamentalist Christians who have not been voting traditionally, because that was, it's easy to forget now, but that was for generations, really, the sort of the separatist practice in fundamentalism was that many fundamentalists believed it wasn't even their job to vote, that they were citizens of heaven, and therefore they don't have to concern themselves with, you know, with civic duties such as voting and politics. So anyway, that's really all forming in the 70s, and then Carter's election in 76 is what gets a lot of these guys off the sidelines. And of course, the irony being that Carter was himself a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher who was the first self-described evangelical, really, in modern history to win the presidency.
Right.
But it was those 4 years of Carter that really created this movement to come together in ways that we had never seen before. And then, of course, Reagan becomes the chief beneficiary of it.
Yeah. Was Carter pushing that?
Was he pushing what?
The idea that, hey, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, vote for me because I'm a Christian. I thought he kind of backed away from that quite a bit.
Carter actually, in some ways, he did a little bit of both. He almost tried to have it both ways, because he would, in certain audiences, wear it quite openly on his sleeve. But then he would also give interview. He gave the interview to Playboy magazine which, of course, the great irony was that interview to Playboy in 76. Jerry Falwell Sr. really seized upon that and held it up as evidence, exhibit A, of the nation's decline, its, you know, civilizational moral decay. And then 50 years later, in 2016, it's Jerry Falwell Jr. posing with Donald Trump in front of a framed cover of Playboy in his Trump Tower suite. That on the same day that Falwell Jr. had vouched for Trump's character in front of this ballroom full of evangelicals in New York. So that story, that 50-year arc there, tells you a lot about where we've been.
What an irony. Hang on just a second.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We're talking to Tim Alberta about his new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. We'll be right back with Tim in just a second. Stay with us. Did you know that the folks famous for making candy bars also own some of the most popular dog food brands? Yep, that's right. Candy and kibble from the same company. That just doesn't sit right with me. I don't trust these people to know what's best for Blue and Chewy. That's why I love feeding my dog Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's full of real, wholesome ingredients like turkey, salmon, flax seeds, sweet potatoes, and spinach, with none of those sketchy ingredients. Plus, it's freeze-dried, raw, and pantry-safe. No fridge or freezer space needed. It's full of nutrients your dog needs to thrive. And dogs think it's absolutely delicious, even the picky eaters. I can get you up to 54% off your first Nature's Blend order, plus a free full-size pack of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-flavored dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Or you can shop in over 2,000 stores nationwide. There's a store locator at their website. All pets are unique. Results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. DrMartyPets.com/Tom.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join Matt Nair on Air 11 to noon
on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX 1580 AM.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for the hidden history of voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at tomhartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Have you ever wondered how some people manage to defy age and stay incredibly active into their golden years? Well, just ask Chuck Norris. He's 83 years old and looks amazing, still kicking, punching, and feeling great. Chuck Norris's key to longevity started when he created a formula called Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines 10 supplements into one. And when it comes to health, this has been a real game changer. I love it. Morning Kick isn't your average drink. It's a powerful new formula that helps support joints, gives you energy, and makes you think clearer. Morning Kick has probiotics to help shed those extra pounds and prebiotics for healthy digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and some of the most potent anti-aging supplements you can find. If you've been searching for that extra boost to energy, enhance your overall well-being, or want to feel younger, go to roundhouseprovisions.com. That's roundhouseprovisions.com. Use the code EASY, E-A-S-Y, to get, or text EASY to 511-511 and claim 40% off at a 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Text EASY to 511-511. Welcome back. Tim Alberta is with us. We're talking about his new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. Tim, you and I were just talking a moment ago about, you know, the vision for a new America that these guys are holding, and you suggested that they kind of want to take us back to the Leave It to Beaver 1950s when, they thought things were more godly and, they were putting the In God We Trust on the coins and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like there's a much darker aspect to this. I mean, you've got states now passing laws, these bounty laws that people can track down women who've had abortions and sue them. You've got the Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, who has now gone to two different states and demanded that they provide records of any care to transgender people in those states to him in Texas, so that he can, you know, if there's family, so he can basically harass people. I mean, this is not the friendly Christianity that I remember of the 1950s. I was a big fan of Billy Graham's crusades when I was a little kid. This is not that Christianity, or is it?
No, well, listen, I think what we have to recognize is perhaps the biggest change that we've seen in American Christianity, certainly in this past generation, but I would argue maybe even over the past 50 or 60 years, there's always been this fear of kind of being under siege, that one day they would come for us, they being the outside world, the secularists, the progressives, the pagans, the government, that they're, you know, that they are one day going to put Christianity in the crosshairs, and that we'd better be ready for it, because there's going to be a fight between the good, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians and all of those wicked people on the outside who want to come for us. That stuff has always sort of been floating out there in the ether. And I think, depending on the level of maturity and seriousness of the Christian, they either buy into that kind of thing or they don't. I think what's changed is the degree to which now so many Christians are no longer willing to sit back and let them, quote unquote, come for us, but rather that they believe it's time to go on the offensive. They believe that this now must be a fight that they are going to take to the outside world. And I think that much of that is rooted in a belief, and I've had so many people say this to me, and I talk about it in the book, obviously, that this is no longer a struggle between the right and the left, between the Republicans and Democrats, that this is good versus evil now.
Yeah.
And that if it is good versus evil, that you cannot negotiate with evil. You must just, evil must be defeated. And so when you start to think of our everyday partisan politics in those zero-sum terms, then suddenly everyone who disagrees with you becomes your enemy. The problem, of course, with that thinking, well, there are a lot of problems with it, but the core theological problem for the Christian with those with thinking that way is that, you know, you are supposed to, you are commanded to love your enemy. You are commanded to pray for your enemy and for those who might persecute you. You are commanded to turn the other cheek and to treat the outside world with a grace and a mercy and a compassion and an unconditional love that points those people back to your Father in heaven. I mean, that is, those right. are not abstract
that, no, that's the mandate.
Teachings.
That's the mandate. Tim, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but it's a brilliant book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory by Tim Alberta. Thank you. Hang on just a second, Tim.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Guy always steps on me. Thank you so much, Tim, for dropping by today. Great having you on.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Brilliant book. We'll be back. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-463-4295. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-463-4295 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your way.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A deadly construction accident in Boise. An aircraft hangar being built at the Boise Airport collapsed. Three people killed, nine more injured. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
There was a large-scale collapse of the building, the framework of the building. I don't know what caused it, but I can tell you that it was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
Of the nine people injured, five are on hospital critical lists. Voting 357-70, the House passed a $79 billion package of tax cuts, expanding the child care tax credit, but not at pandemic levels, and restoring three corporate tax cuts. In Manchester, New Hampshire, a woman putting out her trash fell into the dumpster, which was promptly dumped into a garbage truck. Neighbors heard her screams. There was a camera in the trash compartment. The woman was rescued. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dental therapists can now start practicing in Wisconsin. They can fill cavities, do oral exams, and pull some teeth. Governor Evers is also signing off on new money to boost oral care training in Wisconsin's technical colleges and incentives for Marquette University dental students to practice in underserved areas. Governor Evers is standing by Tuesday's veto of legislative maps passed by Republican state lawmakers last week.
It's important to make sure that people have, you know, good maps, to make sure that we have competitive races, all that stuff. But what I vetoed is was not in that vein.
Redistricting will likely be settled by the state Supreme Court in a few weeks. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of fog forming in the overnight with lows in the mid-30s and a light southwest breeze. Thursday, fog will lift. We'll see mostly cloudy skies. Highs will reach near 40 degrees. Same story on Friday, minus the fog and a light east wind. Right now, it's 37.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, if you like the rants that I open the show with every day, they're typically published over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Did you know that the same folks famous for making candy bars also own some of the most popular dog food brands? Yeah, that's right. Candy and kibble from the same company. Yeah, that doesn't just sit right with me. I don't trust these people to know what's best for Blue and Chewy, and I want them to get good, healthy food. That's why I love feeding my dogs Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's full of real, wholesome ingredients like turkey, salmon, flax seeds, sweet potatoes, and spinach with none of those sketchy ingredients. Plus, it's freeze-dried raw and pantry-safe, lightweight, and there's no thawing, no mess, and no fridge or freezer space needed. It's full of nutrients your dog needs to thrive, and dogs think it's absolutely delicious, even the picky eaters. Now, I can get you up to 54% off on your first Nature's Blend order, plus a free full-size pack of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. There's also a store locator at their website. There's over 2,000 stores nationwide where you can buy their products. All pets are unique. Results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. drmartypets.com/Tom. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Breaking news. I haven't seen any coverage, by the way. That story about Trump, the sores, the little round red sores on Trump's hand, that story lasted for 2 or 3 days and then vanished. You know, the question, does Trump have syphilis? Well, it turns out syphilis is exploding in the United States. We're now at the highest level of syphilis since the 1950s, up 17% from 2021, up 80% from 2018. There's also a 183% increase in babies born with syphilis since 2018. Meanwhile, gonorrhea is actually on the decline, which is interesting. I don't get the difference or why, although I believe you can transmit syphilis by kissing. I'm no expert on STDs, so don't look it up. All right, let's pick up your calls and see what's on your mind here today. Mike in Hope Sound, Florida. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I'm glad to hear you're not an expert on STDs. That makes me feel better.
I have very little experience in the field. Thank God.
I am a little worried for Stormy Daniels, so maybe she should get herself checked.
Well, Trump did say that was his personal Vietnam, was avoiding STDs in the 60s. You know, other people had to go to Vietnam, and he had to avoid the STDs.
What a great patriot, and what a great representative for Christianity Donald Trump is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't want to make this is kind of a dark joke, but in reality, it struck me while I was on hold listening to the great author talk about evangelicals coming to him at his father's funeral and confronting him at his funeral. And he mentioned, you know, how it hurt him. And I want to bring up the fact that this is what happens when people that are emboldened, like a Hitler, like a Trump, like these people who think that they're going to tell some young man who lost his father how they should act and what they should do. You know, there used to be a time, and I don't mean to be funny, but there used to be a time in this country where if you said something slanderous or if you said something nasty, you would be challenged on the field, and you would risk your life because of something you said. Now, I don't think violence is the answer, but you know what? If we brought back the dueling system, there wouldn't be Elon Musk calling people pedos or spreading conspiracy theories or saying that
Mike, are you trying to punk me here? I mean, seriously, bring back the feuding, the dual system.
I mean,
it didn't work out very well for Alexander Hamilton. You know, it's just.
I know. There's always a downside, Tom. No, but in seriousness, people have to be held to account to their words, and we have a country of free speech. So you can be a conspiracy theorist, but you can't yell fire in a theater. You can't. Say your children didn't die without, you know, serving punishment for it, which Alex Jones did.
Right.
And the guy who runs Newsmax made his bones on spreading lies about Vince Foster. Now, these people had families. So it takes good Americans to stand up and stop these Hitler types. If you don't stop like that gentleman who called and didn't want to stop Hitler, like you eloquently argued with him, you have to make a stand against these people. And you have to make a stand against Christo-fascists.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I don't put up with this nonsense for 1 second from these people, and I live in Florida. So, hey, great show, Tom.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Good talking to you. bring back dueling. Paul in Ambler, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to also relate something to the caller who was concerned about the origins of World War II having less to do with Hitler's aggression and more to do with us financing him. He has a timeline, which I don't think is untrue, but it's not comprehension. Simple timelines of history are basically that. You know, so-and-so did such-and-such at such a place at such-and-such a time. That doesn't mean you really understand the fullness of humanity. That's why we have sociology, political science, and economics. Those fields developed. The main three, the social sciences that developed came about in the late 1800s and 19th century because history just wasn't good enough. And we had more complexity to deal with, and things aren't what they appear to be, which psychology teaches us. And what I wanted to just relay is that there's a new series on streaming. It's called Masters of the Skies, and it's a World War II. It's going to be an epic production similar to Band of Brothers, but it's going to be about the pilots and the crews of the flying fortresses, the B-17s, flying from England to Germany and what they encountered. And if anybody knows anything about World War II, they know that that was the deadliest job of World War II. The survival rate of those crews were less than 50%. Wow. And they basically had a limit. If you did so many, I think maybe one or two dozen flights, you didn't have to go because it was a suicide mission. Right. Right. They absolutely knew that your chances of surviving beyond a certain number was like less than 10%. So they allowed people to bow out. Some did, some didn't. But it was a meat grinder worse than anything in any other area of war going on. Now, here's the thing. I read reviews of this, which sounded like it was written by some 20-something. And he was basically complaining about, you know, imperialism and racism and like everything except what the show was about.
Right.
And he seemed to be conflating everything that's been going on since World War II, you know, in its worst aspects, with what actually was going on in World War II. And the last thing that he said that really galled me was there was a picture of one of the promo picture of one of the pilots, and he's very young looking. He's obviously someone in his 20s. He says, does this look like someone who's old enough to fly a plane? Now, Tom, you and I have grown up with World War II veterans. They went in as teenagers.
Yeah.
The average age was like the mid-20s.
My dad joined when he was 20, the day he turned 17.
Well, that's just that my uncle, the last of my mother's siblings, he's the last of their generation. He just passed away about a week ago, about a week before his 99th birthday. In 1942, he graduated from high school from North Catholic in Philadelphia, and very soon thereafter was off to the Pacific and spent 3 years there.
Yep.
He went in as a teenager, and yep, by the time he got out, he was barely 21 or 22. The biggest casualty group for death in World War II was the people who were 19. If you looked at every group, 19, 20, 25, year, whatever age group.
Because they were most likely to be the infantry.
Thousands of deaths. The 19-year-olds died in the largest amount.
Right.
That was a very, very young war. And I don't think anybody alive today who's not at least, I don't know what, maybe 60 now, has a clue what life was like. They just think everything that they see today existed back then, and they have a very simplistic notion of history as a timeline. They don't have comprehension. They don't understand how different things were. They don't understand that the government completely commandeered the population and the economy, not for purposes of conquering, but for survival.
Yeah.
If we didn't defend ourselves, we would have been the next victims of Hitler in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, Japan attacked us. Yeah, that's my point. You have to stop tyrants before they achieve, you know, so much momentum that it's really costly. Exactly. It's really costly to stop. Paul, thank you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's your media support group for We the People. We'll be right back with your calls in just a moment. So let me guess, your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't work. You're still not sleeping, you're still hurt, and you're stressed out. That's how it is for a lot of people. So clear out your medicine cabinet and reset your health with CBD from CB Distillery. I've tried it. It's great stuff. It works wonderfully. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90%, including me, said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like I did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Just visit cbdistillery.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code TOM.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Health empowerment, 9 things the 19th century can teach us about living in the 21st. They shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-empowerment, 9 things the 19th century can teach us about living in the 21st. Available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait. Is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
Help! Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag you're it. 48 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here, John in Chicago. Hey, John, thanks for listening to WCPT. What's up? John in Chicago? Listening on AM 820? Going once, going twice. Beth in Valparaiso, Indiana. Hey, Beth, what's on your mind today?
Hi there, Tom. I haven't talked to you in a while. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things that I think all of us are making a little bit of a mistake in terms of our messaging. I listen to some podcasts and I listen to some progressive radio, and one subject I hear keep coming up is, who are these MAGA people? Why do they believe like this? Is there any way to get them to change their mind? And, of course, there's many reasons why these people do. Some of them are drawn to it for religious reasons. Some are drawn to it because they're racist. There's a lot of things we could discuss, but I think we're missing the boat. I think the most scandalous thing that has happened in the last several years as this January 6th, as we live through the post-January 6th world, is that I'm so shocked of all the elites in our society, like the Ginny Thomases and the Mitch McConnells, and all the people at the top of all these various, you know, in various branches of government that are helping the fascism happen, including our media, who are normalizing Trump again. And I think we need to turn our ire on, I think we're in a real problem because the elites on our side of the fence have been very slow and reticent to quickly round these people up and punish them. And Trump's not in jail, and he insults judges and the judiciary branch and witnesses every 5 minutes.
Yep.
And they're simply not standing up to the threat. So I think we need to focus on the elites and on the underpinnings of the Republican philosophy. There's Republicans all over MSNBC, and as far as I'm concerned, they're Trojan horses. If you won't pay a person a living wage and you won't take climate change seriously and you want to crush somebody's union and crush their ability to have food to eat with their food stamps, you're pretty much on your way to fascism anyway, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, that's where these guys are at. They're dancing to the tune of right-wing billionaires who don't want to have to pay taxes. And because they don't want to have to pay taxes, they want to make sure that, you know, basically our government never does anything for anybody except for the right-wing billionaires. They want to keep their $600 billion a year subsidies for the fossil fuel industry. They want to keep their huge, massive loopholes for taxes so that they don't have to pay income taxes. But no, I think you're absolutely right, Beth.
One other thing I was going to say is that I also hear Democrats a lot saying, this isn't who we are. Well, we're a divided nation, so please don't try to tell me who I am.
Yeah.
And number two is that they think by saying, look at all the things we've done for working class Americans and poor Americans. People don't want to identify as working class and poor. They don't want a handout. They want to be inspired. So I hope we have some ads that sound like this. There's only one party that is defending the rule of law and the Constitution, the Democrats. There's only one party that's defending women's reproductive rights, the Democrats. There's only one party that is protecting your sacred right to vote, the Democrats. There's only one party that takes the future and climate change seriously, the Democrats. Don't vote Republican, because I'm telling you, Tom, like you said, we could end up with Nikki Haley or some other far more attractive, less fraudulent Republican who will, you know, I'm afraid that uneducated voters are either going to say, oh, Trump's like a cartoon character, and I guess he's down on his luck because he's been sued a lot. I'll vote for him. It seems like a fun, like, story narrative to get involved in.
Right.
Or else they're going to look at Nikki Haley and say, well, she's a woman, and she's kind of attractive. She sounds really reasonable, and I'm sick of Biden, so blah.
And it's going to be GOP policies all the way through. Yeah, no, your point's very well made, Beth. Thank you very much for the call. Webb in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hey, Webb, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. I always get sidetracked listening to everybody. I just thought about something. I can't stand fantasy football, and everyone seems to enjoy it. Years ago, I tried to start a real-life legislature league where we get members of the Congress and House, and you get your team, and you follow them, and you monitor them. And with these, you can actually call them and talk to them and persuade them, hopefully, to what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
but that didn't work out. So, but anyway, I was calling actually a little bit of a follow-up to yesterday, talking about Jesse Helms. I'm from North Carolina, and in no way did I ever defend or support him, but I did think it was interesting in his last year in office, he did come around to supporting AIDS in Africa after befriending U2 Bono,
who opened up his eyes. You're talking about the PEPFAR program?
Exactly.
Under Bush.
Yeah. And
yeah. Isn't it weird that the Republicans are trying to kill that right now?
I have not heard that.
Yeah,
but I would not be surprised.
They are. They're actively trying to kill the PEPFAR program, which has saved at least 5 million lives in Africa from AIDS. It's the most effective anti-AIDS program in the world. It was put together by the Bush administration, of all people. And Republicans now are trying to defund it.
Yep.
Big fight on Capitol Hill going on right now.
Helms did say in his memoir that he was wrong about what his beliefs on AIDS, but he didn't change his attitude on gays. There's a really good documentary, Tim Kirkman, 98 documentary called Dear Jesse. It's a very good documentary.
Interesting.
And interestingly enough, Jesse Helms' daughter is a lesbian, and his longtime pollster who worked for him for many years, Arthur Finkelstein, came out after Jesse died and then married his longtime partner.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. If only he had achieved some enlightenment on issues of race as well. I get it, Webb. Webb, thank you for the call. David in North Miami Beach, Florida. Hey, David, what's up?
Hey, y'all. I have the same birthday as Dan Quayle on the 4th, so pray for my astrological chart.
Okay, yes. David.
Yeah, so here in Florida, where they've devalued sociology, it no longer counts as a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
As a core requirement. I'll give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's good. Your old nemesis, Paris Hilton, warned us about idol worship in a self-parody on the TV show Supernatural, basically warning us about Trump. It's bad that these jokers think they're going back to a Pleasantville, Leave It to Beaver 1950s, or a Little House on the Prairie 1880s, forgetting the horrible sacrifices needed to get to those utopias.
Mm-hmm.
But the ugly part is how much of this is thanks to not Laura Ingalls Wilder so much as her libertarian niece, not so much the people who actually, you know, built up the 50s, but, you know, like our supermarket princess down here who loaded people on the bus on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. The people who inherited the wealth and the privilege without understanding what led to that wealth.
Right, which is the leading cause of billionaires now is inheritance, which is wild.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt tried to do something about that.
He did, and my partial solution is, okay, we'll give you some form of it, but you have to give some guarantees to the minorities, and of course they forget that, you know, you had to outlaw billionaires.
No, I totally get it, David. These are the same people, by the way, who say that if you give people food stamps or if you give people housing support, you're going to make them lazy. But we want to be able to give our children $1 billion. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just insane, actually. All righty, on the other side of the break, Heidi Segman Kuda is going to be with us about breaking the GOP death grip. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
It's no secret that some Valentine's gifts require basically no thought, like flowers. Problem is, your special someone also knows they require no thought. I have two awesome gift suggestions that are not only super easy to order, but you'll get rave reviews for your thoughtfulness and taste. I'm talking about super soft and luxurious loungewear and pajamas from Cozy Earth, the brand featured on Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. Their popular bamboo pajama set, made from viscose from bamboo, for example, are super soft, stylish, and naturally temperature regulating, so she'll sleep comfortable all night. And you can't go wrong with their bamboo joggers. They have all the coziness of pajamas that she can wear just about anywhere. Louise and I love Cozy Earth. You're golden with anything you order from Cozy Earth this Valentine's Day. And now you can save up to 35% on Cozy Earth loungewear, pajamas, bedding, bath towels, and more. All backed by a 10-year warranty. Just go to CozyEarth.com and enter my promo code TOM for up to 35% off. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Oboe. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Oboe Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Oboe Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.